We give you honor, and we thank you for the privilege that is ours, God, to come before your presence with thanksgiving. And even now, anoint your servant to say a word on your behalf, that your word will go forth with power and conviction, God, that we will see you high and lifted up, and we will see you and the great relationship you want to have with us. We honor you and we praise you. And we thank you, God, for even that one person will ask the question, what must I do to be saved? We ask in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we continue the series, Why Christmas? Because that might be the question of in the minds and hearts of people who don't know Jesus and why we do what we do. For in the minds of some, there's no way that Jesus could have been born in December. Why give gifts? And we talked about that we give gifts to emulate the great gift giver himself, who is God, who gave us the perfect gift in the form of his son Jesus. And every time we give a gift to someone else, we are expressing love of the value that they have in life, the appreciation and gratitude that we have for them being in our life. And so today we want to talk about why the manger, or why do we often see at Christmas time the nativity scene? Why is that so significant? Why is that such a great tradition in the lives of us? We had some technical difficulties, but just use your imagination for me right now. We're going to be looking at Luke chapter 2. Let me give you the background of Luke chapter 2. There was a tax that occurred that required all Jews to return to their hometown. And because Joseph was from the lineage of David, he returned to Bethlehem. And the beauty of him returning to Bethlehem is that he fulfilled the prophecy that the Messiah that the Jews had been praying for, believing God for a very long time, that he would come from, be born in Bethlehem. And so, don't you know, it's just like God, that God will orchestrate what he needs to do to get us in position so that his good and perfect will might be done in and through our lives. Do I have any witnesses in here? God ever caused you to go somewhere where you had not intended to go, but you were probably grumbling and mumbling a little bit on the way, but after you got there in the middle of God's will, you realized that he was working everything together for your good. Can we give him a shout of thank you right now? Thank you, God. And that's what happened to Joseph and Mary. She was pregnant, and she was ready to be there to give birth to the baby. And I want to just read two verses of scripture real quick. Let me just read Luke 2, 1 through 7. And read along with me, and it reads this way. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went from Caesar Augustus, and all the world should be registered. In other words, a census. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to the to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was, while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Why the manger? Why the manger? Manger is a constant reminder, is that God will meet us where we are, no matter what. Oh, I wish I had some witnesses here that would believe that God will meet you wherever you are, no matter what. Matter of fact, that's a good time to give God thanks. God, I thank you, because sometimes I know I ain't where I need to be, but wherever I am, you want to be there, and you will meet me there. Why in this tradition, God meets you where you are psychologically. He meets you where you are psychologically. The text says that she gave birth to the child, laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. In other words, I'm not exactly sure what their economic status was. I don't know if they tried to check in to the Marriott. I don't know if they tried to check in to the Comfort Suites. I don't know if they tried to check in to the Red Roof Inn. But wherever they tried to check into, there were no room. There were no rooms. And can you imagine being rejected and pregnant? So, you know, you can imagine that Mary and Joseph were already dealing with some psychological and emotional issues. Okay, and amen. And if you've not had any children, you can imagine, you know, folk who had children and been pregnant, and you know what it's like when women are pregnant and the husband is trying to comfort, and no amount of pickles and pizza will bring, can solve the psychological and emotional, nothing you can do can seem to help. And here you are. You weren't planning on it. It wasn't in your budget. Now you got to go on an unplanned trip. Amen. Another psychological and emotional issue. You ain't got the funds to do this, but to be in order. Somebody said we got to be in order. You know, they went for it. So that means that they could not make any reservations ahead of time. And all the folk who had faster horses and more help got there ahead of them. Amen. Just because every now and then Mary had stopped.
That's right.
Amen. She had stopped, right? Amen. She had stopped. So by the time they got to Bethlehem, everything was jam-packed. You ever went with Mary and I went where she has this contract, and I ride with her to and we were used to staying in the Hampton Inn there, and we went to the Hampton Inn after she finished her contract one night, so we would have to drive back. And the Hampton Inn was jam-packed. Every time we had been there, it was never jam-packed. But across the street, it wasn't even a Red Roof Inn. Lord Jesus.
It was a no-name.
Oh, Lord. I didn't think I was going to sleep, but I was so tired. You ever been to a hotel? You say, I ain't staying in here.
Amen.
But when you don't have no choice, because everything is booked, and you got a feeling of rejection. I'm standing, it can't be packed. You got this pitiful look on your face, and you thinking that your pitiful look is going to change things. Nothing. So emotionally and psychologically, you messed up. But you messed up because you've been rejected. Anybody ever been rejected? Oh, Lord, when you get rejected, things happen. As a matter of fact, there was an article that I was reading about rejection in the school psychology magazine or whatever it is. And it says that the feelings of rejection can cause just as much physical pain as emotional pain. And then sometimes when you recall the rejection and all the things that what went through your mind and your heart and your spirit, it works in you and makes you more depressed, makes you want to go pull the blinds, cut off the phone, don't want to talk to no one, don't want to be bothered with anyone. Why? Because you just the psychological feelings that you are feeling don't make you appealing in your own mind. Your self-esteem is shot. So the room keeper says, well, we don't have any rooms, but we do have a stable. And it's not the pretty stable that they keep horses in today. I see some stables that they, as a matter of fact, there's an Esquian place down in Clayton. Very nice. I said, we've got TVs in there. I said, what horse is watching this? What is this, Mr. Ed or something? Got TV screens. Got air conditioning, heat. And I'm going, this horse is living better than some people. So what did they say like that? It was a cave. You ever been in a cave? Anybody ever been to Lorraine Cameron's? And see, Lorraine Cameron's was even prettier than what this stable looked like. And so now you're in this cave and you're giving birth to this child and you are emotionally warped. But anybody glad that the Lord reminds us that when we are in the kingdom of God, it is not a matter of what we eat, but this is Romans 14 and 7. It's not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. I'm so glad that no matter where we are, psychologically, God can meet us there and give us the joy, unspeakable joy in the Holy Spirit that causes us to want to keep on going, that we want to keep on moving, to say, great is He that's in me, that He who's in the world. I know it looks like that the world has rejected me, but because God loves me and He promised to love me, no matter what, I'm going to keep on keeping on. I'm not going to pull the covers over my head. I'm going to get up out of the bed and I declare and decree, this is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in this day. Yeah, thank you, God. How can you do that? Well, Isaiah 26 and 3 reminds us, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you and whose thoughts are fixed on you. In other words, he said, when I keep my mind on the Lord, and I don't look at my problems. I don't psychologically just deal with my rejection, but I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that He's done for me. And because of that, my soul will begin to shout, hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for saving me. Thank you, God, for meeting me right where I am. Even when the world has rejected me. That's what He says. Even if my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Oh, somebody put your hands together. Doesn't matter who turned their back on you. God will be there for you. Not only will God meet you where you are, psychologically, but God will meet you where you are socially. In other words, the text says in Luke 2, 11 through 12, and the Savior, let me read verse 10 actually, and he says, and the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be for the rich folk. For the middle class folk, all people, somebody shout, that all includes me. He said that shit, yeah, all people. Then he goes on, so, and the Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born tonight in Bethlehem, the city of David. And this is how you will recognize Him. You will find a baby lying in a manger, wrapped in snugly strips of cloth. In other words, here was the Lord showed up with where the shepherds are to remind them that the one that they had been praying for, the one they had been believing for. And then can I just testify, sometimes no matter where you are, doesn't matter if you rich, sometimes doesn't matter if you middle class, doesn't matter if sometimes you don't have two nickels to rub together. A lot of times we ain't thinking about God. Oh, I say that, I get that, amen, thank you. Sometimes we ain't thinking about God. Amen. Doesn't matter where we are socially, you know. Sometimes we thinking about the date going bad. There used to be a program called On Hell Date. I thought that was the craziest program that I had ever seen in my life, Hell Date. It was a manufactured date where this person did not know that the person that they were dating was part of the TV program and was acting weird and crazy. So crazy, he was like, why would that person go? And that person started, you know, the person who the joke was being played on, which starts, I'm getting out of here. Then the little guy
in a devil suit would come out talking about, oh, this is a hell day. Like, can you imagine? I can't imagine. I've never been on one. Thank the Lord. Amen. So I'm glad I don't have to go on that now. But no matter where you are socially, whether you got a lot of friends or you by yourself, whether you're rich, poor, got a job, unemployed, whatever, sometimes, you know, we may feel as if we are socially awkward, but God will meet you where you are socially. Whether you're employed, you need God. If you're unemployed, you need God. If you got a lot of money, you need God. If you got a job and you're making sometimes we're working poor, amen. Sometimes you making the bills, but it's just enough joy to get to the end of the month. Hey, you need God, and if you don't have nothing, amen, you definitely need God. As a matter of fact, when people come through the door, that's why it's so important that we show love and inclusion, because socially they're trying to not be rejected, which would lead us to the previous point, because if they get rejected in church, that's a reflection that God has rejected them. But that's not the truth. No. People may act funny. Amen. But I'm so glad that God never acts funny. Do I have any witnesses here? Anybody? You know, sometimes when you get into trouble, people know you got some problems, and you call them, and they say, oh, no, that's so-and-so. You know, I ain't going to answer them. No. I'm so glad that God has never put business, that God never uses checks his caller ID and not to respond. But socially, God loves me with an everlasting love. And no matter what I call him, I can call him late at night. I can call him early in the morning. God will answer. Have they ever answered anybody here? Shout amen. Not only does God meet you where you are psychologically and socially, I have finished that point. The shepherds were people who were not considered on the upper scale. But yet the angel did show up at the palace to announce what God had done. They showed up out there with the outcast. Oh Lord, have you ever been outcast in your life? This is a reminder that God, the nativity scene, is a reminder that God, the world may come not so slick, except you, but God will always meet you where you are. So he meets you where you are psychologically. He meets you where you are socially. He meets you where you are physically.
Yes.
Oh, my Lord. I don't know. I feel a shout coming on right there. He knows. Tell your neighbor, God knows where you are. He knows where you are. Verses 15 to 16 says, the angels have returned to heaven, and the shepherds said to each other, oh, Lord. Sometimes you got to talk to your folks and say, come on, let's go to Bethlehem and see this wonderful thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Oh, can nobody beat you when the Lord tells you what he has done? And the text says, verse 16, that they ran. They said, well, when it ain't cold, when the weather gets better, when the sun comes back out, when it's not raining. No, they rose and they ran to find Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. Yes, God will meet you where you are physically. No matter what state, no matter what country, he knows your address. Anybody believe that God knows your address? I know we moved to Washington, D.C. area, but I'm so glad that God knows where I am in North Carolina. It doesn't matter where you are. God knows where you are. The Bible says he knows the very hairs that are on your head. Ain't no way he can know that unless he knows where you are physically. Because God knows everything. Everything made about you, every little thing about you. And even though some of the stuff about you ain't good, he still wants to be where you are. Oh Lord, I feel like shouting. Thank you, God, for wanting to be with me. no matter where I am, no matter what I do. Matter of fact, David said I'm going to make my bed in hell. Oh, God, there you are. Lord, I'm telling you, God wants to be with you. No matter who said I quit you, no matter who said I don't want to be with you, the fact that God wants to be with you is enough. And when God is with you, guess what? This is what I believe, that God will guide you to new people, new friends, to new joy. Does anybody believe that? Because he knows where you are physically. Look, that's where he found the shepherds. He found them physically, and he moved. Look, he gave them a revelation. He gave them some insight. And he says, now, they heard it, but they didn't just hear it. They were not hearers of the word only.
Come on.
Oh, Lord, have mercy. They acted on the word. Oh, Lord, they told them that in order for you to see this, in order for you to experience what God has said, this is where you're going to find it. See, some of us, I don't know. You think it really happened? They could have been out there pondering all night. But something filled their faith up to the point that they acted on the word. Tell your neighbor, I'm going to act on the word. I'm going to act on the word because the Lord knows where I am physically. So I'm going to act on the word. The Lord knows where we are psychologically. He knows where we are socially. He knows where we are physically. But this is the last one. He knows where you are spiritually. Oh, that somebody give God praise. God, I thank you. You know where I am. Because, like I said, the shepherds were not thinking about God. They were thinking about their sheep. But when they got word that there had been a breakthrough, have you ever gotten word that there was a breakthrough on your horizon? You ever got word that all you had to do was act on the word? Tell your neighbor, you better act on the word. You better act on the word. Because when you act on the word, things begin to change for you spiritually. Where you had a little bit of faith, because you acted on the word, your faith will begin to grow. Do I have any witnesses here? Oh, I'm still in the word. Verse 17 says, then the shepherds went to see. Verse 17, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about the child. And verse 18 says, all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. Look, when they heard that revelation about that God was with them and would meet them where they are, they didn't keep it to yourself.
Right.
It's kind of like the sale that's going on this weekend. You heard about it, didn't you? Did you hear about the sale? You didn't see the sale? It was on every channel.
Lord.
Go back and look at the TV. You gonna whatever sell it is, it's on TV. Whatever it is, it's on TV. Go back. Just turn on any channel. There's a sale. They're trying to get you there. Just like they're not trying to keep it to you themselves. The shepherds did not keep it to themselves. And because they acted on the word, they moved and they told everybody about what they had heard, what they had seen. But not only it shifted them. It shifted them spiritually. Instead of just sitting out there and pretending to the sheep telling lies,
all right.
I'm still telling stories. They went and acted on the word, but this is what blesses me. Verse 20 says the shepherds went back to their fields and flocks, glorifying and praising God for what the angels had told them, because they had seen the child just as the Lord had mentioned. In other words, not only did they not keep it to themselves, but they went back and there had been a shift all on in their spirit. And they went back to work praising the Lord. Rejoicing in his goodness. Rejoicing about his faithfulness. Rejoicing that the Lord will keep his word. Rejoicing what their eyes have seen. What their ears have heard. What their hearts have felt. They went back praising God. Even, I can imagine that even the sheep began to praise God. Things have changed. But there's been a shift in the atmosphere.
Thank you. Praise.
think it's Psalms 22 and 4, correct me if I'm wrong. The Bible says that God inhabits, the praises of his people. Can you see it? Can you see it? Can you see it? Can I help you? This is what I see. This is my personal illustration, because I was going through some things. I mentioned this last week. Was it last week? Week before last? I can't remember. I was going through some things on my job, and I was reading this book by Terry Law, I think it was. And I got to the chapter about praise, and that verse that God inhabits the praises of his people. And he gave the illustration that when we praise God, I hope I don't break this, Veronica. I'm sorry.
Faith.
Yeah. Psalms 22 and is it 4?
22.
He says it's a picture of Jesus when you're praising God. When you're giving God, your praise is a reference to us thanking God for who he is and what he's done. Not only did the shepherds praise God, but they glorified God. They made him they put his name on blast so that the sheep began to dance. But the Terry Law says that when we praise God, the illustration is like in the middle of our praise, God comes down in the middle of our praise on his throne. Oh Lord. On his throne. Now, when he comes in the midst of our praise on his throne, what comes with him? All his power. All his glory. Everything that's made able to be a breakthrough and be powerful in your life. In other words, God sits right in the middle of your praise. And when I was leading that, when I was reading that, and I began to praise God, because at that time in my life, the desk that I was sitting at felt like it was on my back. Oh, help me, Jesus. I thought I was carrying too many burdens. I thought I wasn't going to make it. But right then and there, I began to praise God. I began to give him glory. And that burden seemed to lift right off of me. I had a new walk. I had a new talk. There had been a shift in the atmosphere. There had been a shift in my life. Why? Because I opened up my mouth and gave God praise. Come on, tell me, give him praise today. Tell me, thank him for the nature. Thank you for his glory. Thank you for his forgiveness. Thank you, God, for the rising of the sun to the going down of the rain. You are God, and we glorify you. Oh, thank you, God. He's worthy.
Thank you, God.
He's worthy.
Yes, he is.
To be praised. And the manger scene is still shown to remind us that God will meet you. He will meet you.
Yes, yes.
No matter where you are.
Yes, yes.
No matter who you are.
Yes.
No matter what side of the track you grew up on.
Right.
No matter where you live, what your address is. No matter if the world has rejected you, he we'll meet you.
Yes.
I don't know what you've been going through and what you've had to face this week, but I'm here to remind you of the loving care of God.
Thank you.
That the nativity scene, the manger, is that reminder.
Yes.
It's a tradition that every time we see that, because we see, this is the key. We're not going to leave him in the manger.
Right.
He didn't come to stay in the manger.
Amen.
He came to be the salvation of the world. Not only did he fulfill his mission, but this is the beauty. Now he's on the right hand of God.
Amen.
Interceding on your behalf. Oh, look, if you can't praise God for that. So every time you're going through something, Lord, that's family. Don't you? Come on. That's who I died for.
Yes,
I think, what's his name? You worth dying for? What's his name? Anthony Brown. Yes. Anthony Brown said, I was worth dying for. You were worth dying for.
Jesus.
Come on, can we give him some praise? You are worth dying for. Amen. Don't let the devil steal your joy. No matter where you are, psychologically, socially, physically, or spiritually.
My God.
He came. He was born. He came. He did his job. He went back to glory. And now he reigns.
Yes, he does.
Are you allowing him to reign in your life?
Yes, yes.
Glory.
He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. Or are you still on the throne? See, because if you are on the throne, God's going to let you, you run it. But the sooner you realize that you, even though you got your license, you're a bad driver. Do I have any witnesses here? Amen. You can get your license, amen. Don't mean you're a great driver just because you get your license.
Amen.
Amen. God will let you drive.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
And just because you survived the first wreck.
Oh, my.
Tell your neighbor, I'm gonna let Jesus be my driver. That's what it means for him to be Savior and Lord.
Amen. Yes, yes.
Come on.
He's managing your life.
Yes.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you today.
Glory to you.
That the manger came scene reminds us that you will meet us where we are no matter what.
No matter what.
And we're humbled to know that even though some of us have shipwrecked our lives, you sent us a life raft.
Yes.
Yes, God.
And his name is Jesus. To save us from the depths of despair, disappointment, rejection. To allow us to reign with him. Thank you, God, for wanting to be in relationship with us. We are so humble. And so we ask you once again, God, if there's anything in our life that's displeasing to you, forgive us.
Thank you, Jesus.
So that you can rule and reign in our lives every day, not just in this Advent season, but rule in our lives every day. And if there's someone under the sound of my voice who's not trusting you to rule in the reign as Lord and Savior, move on their hearts right now. In Jesus' name.
Jesus, glory.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise.